സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മം ഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ. ശ്രീമൽഭാവേനാഖ്യേയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനീ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദയ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമൽഭാവേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപദേ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ മയം നമ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്നം അനുവേദം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയാതരോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ. കമനീയ കിശോര മുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുനിതാദൃതാനുനിന്ദോഹ മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭണാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവി കാപികാവി. മമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശകാരിണി ശ്രീമതി ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം. ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം കൃതി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം ഭുജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃവാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീരാധികായ നമ. സോ വി വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഫ്രം ദി സിക്സ് കാൻറ്റോ വേർ ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ വി സ്റ്റോപ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദി തേർഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ വേർ Krishna was glorified by the Hamsa Guhya prayers. So that is where we were discussing that the importance of the Hamsamukhya prayers. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Daksha Prajapati glorified Krishna with these prayers, obviously Krishna was very, very pleased with that prayers. The result was that Krishna appeared in front of Daksha Prajapati. And then that particular chapter is basically talks about the arrival of the Supreme Lord in front of Daksha Prajapati, presenting himself in the eight-handed form, just like he did in front of Dhruva Maharaj. It's exactly the same form he presented to Daksha Prajapati also. And there is a discussion between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Daksha Prajapati, and with that, that finished chapter finishes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, generally, we have classified Bhagavatam into 12 cantos. Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he has compiled it in such a way that the 12 cantos signifies different things. Beginning with the first canto, it's mentioned that first canto in essence means one thing. Who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam? This is what is the first canto's question to us. Anybody who reads Srimad Bhagavatam will understand who should read Srimad Bhagavatam or who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So in answer to that, the first canto tells us any person who has come to the understanding that death is at the doorstep, any moment it can happen and will be taken away from this, all this association what we have in this material world, everything in 1 minute it is broken up. So when a person has come to this understanding that death is waiting at the doorstep and it can happen to anybody at any time, there is no guarantee that all the first come will go first or the ones who come later will go later, there is no such rule in this. Unfortunately it is like that Krishna has his own plans, and in our own prarabdham has brought us and given us this material body which could be wound up any time, and we will be asked to leave from all these situations where we are in today. So that is the basic understanding. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard that he has only 7 days time left behind for him, being an intelligent king, immediately understood the necessity to hear about the glories of Krishna. That was his good fortune, because right from the beginning, in the womb of Uttaradevi itself, at that time itself, Parikshit Maharaj had the good fortune of seeing Krishna there inside. And if you read through Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, you will find how Krishna has protected Parikshit Maharaj even in the womb of Uttaradevi. So from then on, that devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, has always been looking for who is that person I saw inside. And that is how he got the name as also Parikshit, one who is experimenting. Is this the same person I have seen inside when I was in the womb of in my mother's womb? So Uttaradevi is from there onwards, that right up to the point of departure from here, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was always absorbed in Krishna. And because of that great devotee, through that great devotee, Krishna decided to introduce Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. That is how the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj is. So that Parikshit Maharaj, following in their footsteps, we can understand that when he came to the point that death is waiting in few days' time, he has to leave this planet and do not know what the next destination will be, Parikshit Maharaj requested the great sages who were present there to chant the glories of Krishna. Vishatvaram aham gayada Vishnu ghada. In the second canto you will see there is a reference to this. Vishatvaram gayada Vishnu ghada. Talk about Krishna, talk about the glories of Krishna. Let me hear that and leave this body. This was Parikshit Maharaj's request to the sages who were present there. So this first canto basically gives us a hint to this one particular point, that anyone who has the sense to understand that death is on the doorstep any time will take us away from here, and one who wants to prepare for a death, it is such a person who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the essence of first canto. The whole first canto is pointing out to us this one point. So the second canto, when it goes, move on to the second canto, you will find there Then the second canto, it talks about a person who should speak Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what the second canto is telling us. That, in other words, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from such a personality, there is no more again taking birth in this material world. This is what that second canto is pointing out to us. That why Srishuvan is being glorified in the second canto to that degree is that because of his the high degree of renunciation and detachment he has exhibited towards the material world, and even after achieving the highest Brahman realization, still wanted to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which made him to pick Srimad Bhagavatam from the among the 18 other Puranas, what Vedavyasa Maharshi has written. Srishugan has picked up Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't take any other Puranam. Why? Because Srishugan knew that this is the Puranam, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that Puranam which is actually Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled after compiling all the other Vedic literature. In addition to that, Vedavyasa Maharshi through Srimad Bhagavatam presented the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So therefore, second canto points out to this one thing, that Srishugan's selection was appropriate. Srishugan picked Srimad Bhagavatam. And because of the high degree of realizations and the devotion what Srishugan had, by hearing from a personality like Sudeva Goswami, one do not have to accept material body again. This is what the second canto is proving to us. At the end of the 12th canto, you will see that after hearing 7 days Srimad Bhagavatam from Sri Sudeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj was returned to the spiritual world even before, even in the assembly of the all the great sages who were there listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the first and second canto points out to us. And then when you move on to the third canto, you will notice there, in the end of second canto, the last chapter or the 10th chapter, the first verse points out what is mentioned in the remaining 10 cantos. Aprasargo visargascha Stanam poshanam udaya manvantaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam goes on from third canto onward. Atra sargo visargascha. Sargam means primary creation. Primary creation means that how the original from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how the creation began. There are two stages of creation. The creation right up to Lord Brahma. That means the Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Maya, all this Pradhanam, everything, different names are referred to that. From the right up to Brahma, how the creation happened. And also, the third canto points out to something more important. That in this huge establishment of Krishna, in this huge massive organization of Krishna, millions and millions of universes administered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in this administration, that third canto is telling us, if you work in line with Krishna's desire or Krishna's instructions, then everything will come out nicely at the end. That is what the third canto is pointing out to us. All the personalities who comes in the third canto is proving this one point to us. Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti Devi, and all the other stories in the third canto, if you look, Kapila Vasudev who appeared, Krishna himself came as Kapila Vasudev and instructed the science of spiritual life to the human society. All these instances you will find that everything Kapila Vasudev was instructed, Kardama Prajapati has discussed there. All these things are pointing out to one thing, Vidura and Uddhava, that discussion also. Everything points out to one thing only, that these devotees realized that Krishna's rules and regulations, it is better to follow them rather than going against them. So because they accepted that truth in their life, you see that all of them were successful in their spiritual life. Whether it was Vidura, whether it was Uddhava, whether it was Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti Devi, Kapila Vasudev, every one of them, they were exhibiting this one point very openly to us, that if you follow Krishna's way, what Krishna has shown to us in this world, your life will become also successful. That is those devotees are telling us through the third canto. And therefore, the third canto is given the special name as Sargam. Atra Sargo Visargascha. And as soon as you move into fourth canto, you find exactly the opposite. what you saw in the third canto. In the third canto, everything is favorable to Krishna. That means accepting everything, what Krishna, that achieving the highest perfection of life, following the spiritual path and taking into Krishna consciousness is the goal of the third canto. Whereas in the fourth canto, you find that without Krishna also we can manage things in this world. And when once that attitude comes in, how things can go wrong in our own life. This is what the fourth canto, the personalities in the fourth canto is teaching us this lesson. That means in the fourth canto you will meet Daksha Prajapati, first person. What happened? Offended the Supreme Lord and Lord Shiva, head has gone with that. He lost his head and then he had to wander around with a goat's head for a long time. That was Daksha Prajapati's fate. Secondly, what else has happened? Dhruva Maharaj's story, Suruji. Suruji offended Supreme Personality of Godhead just by words alone. That was enough. And the result was that she had to jump into the fire and kill herself. So we may ask the question that, is that something very serious that somebody commits a suicide like that? Actually, from the Shastric point of view, if one does that, a such thing like that, that has to be understood that Krishna is not favorable. Generally, in our own activities, people who have the higher understanding, who understand the subtle laws of nature, they know that the great sages, they understand that even every living entity in this world acts according to, although in association with the modes of nature, ultimately is controlled by Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is controlling us all the time. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yandrarudhani mayayam. Then under the spell of material energy, maya, we are acting in different ways. Sometimes we think we are making the right decision. Sometimes we think we are making the wrong decision. So who is telling us from inside you are making which direction to go? And that is Krishna. So when one understands that it is from within the heart, the Supreme Lord Himself is prompting us in the one way or the other. When one comes to that understanding, that there those personalities will always pray to Krishna that to guide us in the right direction. That is what is necessary. It is Krishna's guidance alone that makes us to act in the proper way. That therefore, vidya, vidya, swarubini, that vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance and intelligence and stupidity, all these things are different aspects of Krishna. So when Krishna is favorable, Krishna is taking us in the right direction. But when somebody starts thinking that I don't have to take Krishna very seriously in life, rather I can handle things on my own, and then there could be some problems. And that is what the fourth canto is pointing out to us. Daksha Prajapati, Suruji, and so many few more other personalities are mentioned there in the fourth canto, who are all pointing out to this one particular thing to us, that if you exclude Krishna from your plans, and if you make independent planning about the life, then you could end up with some disaster or catastrophe. So that is what is the fourth canto is telling us. Now, as you move from fourth canto to fifth canto, you will find something more interesting. When there are people like that, who has that kind of attitude, who thinks that they can manage things without Krishna's help, you need a place for them to be kept. And it is those places that is what is described in the fifth canto. That is why the whole Naragaloka Varnana, the whole creation, and at the same time there is a graphic description of the hellish planets and planets which are meant for accommodating that kind of people. Or in other words, that is a place for them to who wants to deviate from the Krishna's instructions. So as you move like that, then you come to the sixth canto. So fifth canto talks about this situation, that when one falls into this illusion that they can manage without Krishna, Krishna says, well, there is a place for you to act independently, and that place is specifically kept for this purpose. Just like in this world also, everybody has a special place for them to stay according to one's activities. So similarly, from the fifth canto, when you move into sixth canto, you find something which is much different than all what you have seen before. It is in the sixth canto that you find one of the greatest things of what Krishna has shown to the devotees. What is Krishna's mercy? That through the story of Ajamila, Krishna is saying to us that even if one has fallen down to any condition, to such a difficult condition, Even if one has fallen down to such a difficult condition, even in that state, one should take into the shelter of Krishna. That is what sixth canto is telling us. And to such a person who has taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna is kind enough to show that kindness to such a devotee who has taken complete shelter of Krishna. Through the story of Ajamila, the Ajamilo nama mahiswarapuram charandibho dharma vada grihashramim. That Ajamilo nama mahiswarapura, that great brahmana who had, due to his own...
Max, if anybody's got these car, three cars, they need to be moved. They're blocking the structures.
There are three cars in the parking lot which requires to be moved. Y212OLH. That Ajamila has fallen, you can't go further than that. He has gone to that level. And to such a person, just by chanting the holy name once, the Supreme Lord's name once he has called, not even addressing him, but addressing his son. To that Ajamila, Krishna has shown the mercy to bring him out of that situation and send him back to the spiritual world. What does that show? That shows that if Krishna wants that, Krishna can even show that kind of compassion or mercy to a person who has once uttered that holy name of the Supreme Lord. So just to show that, this is a particular aspect of Krishna's personality known as Poshanam. Poshanam means that even if one has fallen down somehow due to circumstances or due to karma vasana or whatever it is, even if one has fallen down to the lowest situation, even there, by chanting Krishna's name, one can be retrieved from that situation and sheltered by Krishna's lotus feet. That is what that particular canto is showing to us. So after that, Poshanam Leela, that is what it's called. It's the pastime of Krishna, is Poshanam. So that particular Poshanam is the Leela that comes through the sixth canto. When we move on to the seventh canto, we find there is a much more interesting personality there who is telling us it is better not to keep all this chanting business right up to the age of 88. It is better to start when one is young itself. That is why Kaumare Acharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavadaniha Durlabham Manusham Janmam Tadapyam Dhruvamarthadam. Prahlada says to us, Prahlada said to his friends also the same thing. Through his friends he is telling us, in other words, he is telling us that don't wait like Ajamila, that at the 88 I will call my son Narayan and I will go back to the spiritual world. It may not happen. That is what Prahlada Maharaj is saying to us. Kaumare Acharet Pragyaham. One should begin when one is small, when one is at the age of 5 or 6 itself, one should start chanting these holy names of Krishna. Dharmam Bhagavada Niha. Bhagavada Dharmam should be began at the early age in life itself. It's better not to keep it to the old age. Durlabham Manusham Janmam. That Manusha Janmam, the human form of life, is a very, very rare thing. It is not so easy to achieve. Only those who understand and accept the philosophy of Vedic philosophy, which believes in the transmigration of the soul and accepting different bodies, we change. Unfortunately, it is a very it is a subject which requires a lot of thinking, deep thinking about it. That karmam creates new bodies. That is a simple thing. That the more we involve in karma, then karma, what karma does is, it generate new bodies one after the other. So when one is engaged in ugra karma or in deep activities in this material world, it is time for them to withdraw some time and to think that is, what is this karma going to do, bring for me at the end. But when one has no understanding of the karmic reactions or the effect of one's own karma, then he engages in all kinds of activities without understanding that this is a very activity that is going to bind him to this material world, that situation will develop. So, for in such a situation, that the Kaumara Acharet Pragyam Dharmam Bhagavadaniha Durlabham Manusham Janmam Tadapyam Dhruvamarthadam. That Prahlad says to his friends, that is there anything in this Yadahi Purushasteha Vishno Padobasarpanam? That the purpose of all this life is to surrender to Krishna. This is what Prahlada Maharaj said to his friends. And by Krishna's special mercy at that time, the friends who were with Prahlada Maharaj also accepted, and everyone started chanting the holy name of the Krishna. And it is then that which upset Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu started reacting to that situation. This is what 7th canto is telling us. Exactly in the 6th canto, Poshanamba Leela, or the pastime of Krishna, that even if one falls into a highly degraded situation, still, if somehow or the other, if one is able to call out Krishna's name in that situation, even without thinking about Krishna, it is possible that by Krishna's mercy, he may also come out of that fallen condition. That is what 6th canto has shown us. But 7th canto is telling us, don't wait like that to happen. That it may not be, it is not guaranteed that at the end of your life, at the 88, when you are, first of all, there is no guarantee whether you will get to 88. Secondly, what will be the situation with this body and the mind and the senses at the old age, one do not know. So therefore, Kaumara Acharya Prajnaha, Prahlada Maharaj says that it is better to do it when everything is going fine. So that is what the 7th canto is telling us. Now, following these instructions of Prahlada Maharaj, what he has mentioned in the 7th canto, because Prahlada Maharaj is one of the greatest of the devotees. Prahlada is one among the authorities on the Bhagavata Dharma. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kabilo Manu Prahlado Janago Bhishma Belim Vayasagirvayam. That among all these devotees, Prahlada Maharaj is one of the topmost Bhagavata Dharma, one who knows Bhagavata Dharma very well. So Prahlada's words will never go wrong. And these Prahlada's instructions, those who have taken that very seriously and continued their life in this world, and according to this Prahlada's instructions, who administered this planet, it is their stories that comes in the 8th canto. That is why Manvantara Adhipati, it says, different Manus who followed these instructions of these great devotees, who have set up these rules for them to follow, and therefore they followed these rules. The result was that in all the Manus' time, different Manus which followed after that, they all seriously took the instructions of Prahlada and they all became great devotees of Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. What was the result of that? Result was that because these great personalities, the great kings, they followed the instructions of Prahlada, they took these instructions to their heart and accepted that seriously in their life, the result was that among the two dynasties who ruled this planet from that time onwards, the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, both of them, in both these dynasties, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. This was the result of that. So in the solar dynasty, while Lord Ramachandra appeared, the lunar dynasty got Krishna as their member of the family. So you can see that solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, both were benefited because of these different Manus have followed these instructions of Prahlada Maharaj, and the result was that they got this the Supreme Personality of God as a member of their own family. So that is what the Atrasargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Udaya Udayam Udi means Karmavasana. That means our propensity to act. That Prahlada Maharaj, although born in a demoniac family, because he has the propensity for to become a devotee due to the association of Sri Narada Muni while he was in the womb of Kayadhu, his mother, that vasana what Narada Muni has injected into his consciousness, that stayed. Even though coming from a demoniac background, Sri Narada Muni's instructions were so powerful that Prahlada Maharaj, when he came out, he started altogether as a different person than his father Hiranyakashipu. So that is what the Uti or Karma Vasana. Sthanam Poshanam Udaya Manvantaram. Manvantaram is the story of the 8th canto. Ishanukatha is the 9th canto. 9th canto is the story where Lord Ramachandra appeared. So in the 9th canto, you see that the following instructions of these Manus in the 9th canto, they got Lord Ramachandra as their son. And what Lord Ramachandra did while Ramachandra was here, it is mentioned throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, Valmiki Ramayanam, everywhere you will find this, that this is the first time that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going back to the spiritual world, taking all his associates with him. That it is in the mention like that, that while immersing in Sarayu River, all the Ayodhya Vasis, the people who lived in Ayodhya, they went along with Lord Ramachandra and they all went back together, back to the spiritual world. So that was Lord Ramachandra. And when you come to the, then the next canto, in the 10th canto, Nirodho Muktirashrayaha. Nirodham is the word what they have used for the 10th canto. Why is it Nirodham? Nirodham means that, Nirodham means to how to get this mind under control. So how do we get this mind under control? Mano Nirodham, that is a word actually addressing to that. Mano Nirodham means that this mind, which is normally in association with the three modes of nature, which is all the time going in different directions and in executing so many different things without properly understanding the effect of all that, such a person, if he wants to have his mind under control, has to come, because without the mind being under control, it is no possibility of any spiritual life, doesn't exist. So bringing that mind under control, that is the process in the 10th canto, that one hear about Krishna, nobody else, about Krishna one should hear, and especially Bala Charita Anijam, that simply about hearing about Krishna's childhood, automatically all the evil things, what is inside the consciousness, inside our mind, will be completely wiped out. That is what the 10th canto is teaching us, that the purification comes from hearing about Krishna's childhood, Krishna's appearance, that Krishna's appearance, and Bhagavad Gita also acknowledges this. Janma Karma Jame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada Tetvadeham Punar Janmam Naidimam Eti Sorjunah. That these two things, Janma Karma Jame Divyam, Krishna's appearance and Krishna's karma. Karma means Krishna's activities, especially the childhood activities. That activities what Krishna performed in Gokulam and Vrindavanam, those activities, if one listens to that carefully from Srimad Bhagavatam, Evam Yo Veti Tattvada, then one understands who Krishna is. Automatically, tektva deham punar janmam nedi mam edi sorjunah. That for such a person, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that one doesn't have to accept a punarjanmam or another material body again. So that is what the potency of the 10th canto, that automatically the mind will change by hearing about Krishna from the 10th canto, and particularly Krishna's appearance and Krishna's childhood pastimes. And having heard that, is there anything after that? Yes, there is something after that. That is what Krishna has delivered to this world prior to his departure from this world. Prachodhavaya paramam samagal swadhamam. That before leaving this planet, Krishna taught himself that I have instructed Arjuna in the battlefield about spiritual life, about the ABC of spiritual life through Bhagavad Gita. Is there anything else I have to give to the deliver to this world? It is with this thoughts in his mind when his dear, most dear devotee, Chandu Bhagavata Uttama, that is why Krishna addressed Uddhava like that. Uddhava, you are the among the greatest among all the Bhagavatas, among the who knows the science of Bhagavatam. That to that Uddhava, Krishna spoke, decided to talk to him about the knowledge, what he wanted to be left behind in this world. This is what we find in the 3rd canto, Uddhava himself mentioning this to Vipina before his departure to Badrinath. So there you will notice that whatever Uddhava has told Vijuna, that Krishna has instructed me and he has asked me to take this knowledge to Badrinath and deliver it to Maranarayana Rishi's ashram there. Because through this knowledge, this world will be benefited after Krishna's departure from this planet. And it is on that instructions that Uddhava has taken, and he was travelling to Badrinath, where he met Vidura in Vrindavan prior to going to Badrinath. So there you can see that knowledge what was spoken in the 3rd canto, which Uddhava was carrying to Badrinath, it is that knowledge what we hear in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does that bring? That bring the end of one's material life, once for all, mukti, liberation, freedom from this material life. That is what is that science of Krishna consciousness in the 11th canto or Ekadasha Skandam. That is what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Through long 26 chapters, Krishna has addressed Uddhava and in detail went through all kinds of aspects of the Vedic tradition and explained to Uddhava that there is nothing higher, my dear Uddhava, than higher in this world than cultivating Krishna consciousness. And Krishna guaranteed this to Uddhava. And by Krishna's mercy and Uddhava's mercy, we have that 11th canto which talks about the freeing from this material life once for all, which is otherwise known as Mukti Suyu. Mukti in its form with Mukti Hittanyadha Arubam Swarubenam Vyavasthiti. Bhagavatam says like that. What is Mukti means? Mukti means actually one to be situated in one's actual constitutional position. This is not, definitely not our constitutional position, because if this is our constitutional position, that means this material body shouldn't be there. The real constitutional position is that one do not have to change the body. From the Vedic point of view, this is the greatest danger, this changing body. But whereas for an ordinary person who lives in the modern world, is finding it very difficult to understand why is it such a big problem, this changing the body. They consider like that. And they also think that everybody is dying, you are also dying, I am also dying, so what is the big deal about it? This is what they will say. But that is not Vedic understanding. Only when one comes to the note of goodness, one can acknowledge these things. And when you study Ekadasha Skandam, you will also notice there some of the instructions what Krishna has mentioned, why people find it very, very hard to understand the goal of spiritual life, the purpose of spiritual life. All these things Krishna explains there, why it is necessary to go in the process of Krishna consciousness. And eventually Uddhava took Krishna's instruction seriously, and that is what the last words Uddhava spoke in the 11th canto. Namostude mahayogin prapannamanishadhimam yadhatu charanamboje retisyad anavayini. You can imagine a devotee like Uddhava is speaking this, that what is our situation then? After serving Krishna for 112 years in this world as a constant companion, Uddhava, never you will find anywhere in the Shrimad Bhagavatam or anywhere there is any history that Uddhava any time entered householder life or he had a family to worry about or anything like that. Uddhava's whole 112 years he spent in only one thing, serving Krishna till the last minute, till Krishna left this world and went back to spiritual world. So in that long period of service, 112 years of Krishna conscious service by Uddhava, after serving Krishna for such a long time, even at the time of departure, Uddhava had one verse to say to Krishna, and that was this verse. Why is this verse so important? Because in through that verse, Uddhava is telling us also something, that if you want to follow this route, you can follow. But what should one ask Krishna in any situation? That is what Uddhava is teaching us through that verse. Namostude Mahayogin. Krishna is addressed as Mahayogin. Greatest among all the mystic yogis is Krishna. Namostude Mahayogin. You can only appreciate these things when you read 11th canto and understand what Krishna has given to Uddhava. And how much Uddhava acknowledged what Krishna has offered to him. Only then you can appreciate these words. Namostude Mahayogin Padannam Anishadhimam Yadha Twacharanam Boje Radesyad Anavayinim. That his request to Krishna was that even if you are leaving me for the first time after 112 years, you can see what was going through Uddhava's mind. On the day when he spoke, Arjuna, Krishna spoke in the assembly of Sudharma, as it was called, Krishna's assembly in the palace in Dwaraka. That day, when Krishna was preparing himself to go, he gave his final speech to the members who were present in that assembly. Not many people could understand that Krishna was preparing himself to leave this world. But one person who was Uddhava sitting there sensed from the tone and the seriousness and the gravity with which Krishna spoke that day, Uddhava sensed that Krishna is probably departing himself from this world. And the moment the thought came to Uddhava, Uddhava could not control himself. He was, although Uddhava is a very, very intelligent person, in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava has been referred like that. Vrishninam pravaro mandri krishnasya daidasaka shishyo brihaspade sakshal uddhavo buddhisattamah. Among the intelligent, he is more intelligent than anyone else. And it is that Uddhava, he was able to capture immediately Krishna's mood, and he followed Krishna all the way back to the palace. And Uddhava, without being asked by Krishna, when asked Krishna, instead of being asked by Krishna, Uddhava immediately mentioned to Krishna that after hearing your lecture today in the assembly hall, I get the strong suspicion that you are preparing yourself to leave this world. And it is then that the Uddhava, Krishna said to Uddhava, that your doubts about that is not out of place. Whatever you have suspected is true. And that is how then the discussion of the 26 chapters of instructions to Uddhava comes in. Anyway, at the end of all that, when Krishna left this planet, before just leaving, the last words Uddhava spoke to Krishna was this: Namostude Mahayogin Prapanna Manishadhimam Yatha Tocharanam Boje Redisyal Anavainim. Then Krishna asked him, what would you like from me to take with you? Uddhava's answer was, Yatha Tocharanam Boje, that today you are leaving me and you are going back to the spiritual world. And you are not taking me with you, but no, that doesn't matter. Even then, it doesn't matter to me. But what will matter to me is, this 112 years, I have developed a certain degree of attachment to your lotus feet. Somehow or the other, it has happened to me. That was my good fortune, Uddhava said, that I was able to serve you so closely. And by your little mercy, somehow, a little bit of attachment I have developed. Not a lot, Uddhava says, a little bit. I have developed an attachment for you. Now, the moment I think that I could not be able to see you as the form as I am seeing today, my heart is breaking up. What shall I do? This is what Uddhava put forward to Krishna at that time. Namostude Mahayogin Prabannam Anishadhimam Yatha Tocharanam Boje Radisyal Anavayini. That let me have that attachment what you have given to me, because even that little attachment what he has got for Krishna is only come from Krishna's grace. If Krishna has decided that you can have so much attachment to me, and then the devotee will have that much attachment for Krishna. We think that, oh, I will do so many things and I will become a great devotee, this, that and the other. But it doesn't work like that. Only it happens when Krishna wants that to happen. Krishna will say, seeing our sincerity and our service to Krishna, one day Krishna thinks, this person has been after me for so many years, he wants something from me, I have to give him something. When Krishna feels that, and Krishna decides that you can have so much attachment or so much devotion to me, at that point the devotee automatically gets that devotion. This is what Ekadasha Skandam is teaching us, that not by your efforts alone everything will happen, but with that sincere attachment and a desire to serve Krishna, when that service gets perfection and Krishna feels the need to recognize it or acknowledge it, and Krishna acknowledges that, then you become a devotee of Krishna. That is what Ekadasha Skandam is saying, that through that Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has given us the highest perfection, or the ultimate goal is to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death. That is why mukti, or in other words, liberation, is the topic of discussion in the 11th canto. And then after that, if you say, is there anything else after that left? The Bhagavatam says there is still something more to look forward to. What is that? Nirodho muktirashrayaha. Mukti is one thing. Mukti is good, that one can free oneself, or don't have to come back to this material world, accept another material body again. But that is nice. But higher than that, that muktirashrayaha. Ashraya means taking shelter of Krishna. That is the ultimate goal of life. And taking shelter of Krishna means that completely surrendering to him and enjoying Krishna consciousness and Krishna's association is the highest perfection of life. And that is what the 12th canto is telling us. So through this way, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this way, step by step, it takes us from the first point, who should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, right up to the point that ultimately going back to Krishna and enjoying the association of Krishna is the goal of life. This is what how Srimad Bhagavatam takes from 1st canto to 12th canto. Atrasargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manvandaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashrayaha. Shishuvan says to Parishit Maharaj, this is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam things are happening. So that is just a brief introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we will go back into the 6th canto where we stopped last Sunday, that we were talking about this Hamsaguhya prayers. Now, Hamsaguhya prayers, what is the significance of these prayers? Then also we have to look at, because it is through these prayers, there is a lot of things what Krishna has made Laksha Prajapati to speak. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna appeared as, in the 11th canto I mentioned in the last class also, that Krishna appeared in this world as a swan to show that normally for the conditioned soul, our mind is always mixed up with the three modes of nature. And this mixing of the mind and the modes of nature is very difficult to separate. It's very, very difficult to separate the mind from the modes of nature. Many powerful personalities, great sages and great yogis, they have tried very hard to get succeed in this process. How to separate the mind from the three modes of nature? They have not succeeded in that. They couldn't do it, because that is how powerful these three modes of nature are. That is why three modes of nature is spoken about so much in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there you will see that these three modes of nature actually perplexed even the four Kumaras. Who are these four Kumaras? Sanaka, Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras whom Brahma has created in the beginning. Even those four Kumaras seems to have been perplexed by this process of mind getting mixed up with the modes of nature. They are such great personalities. By knowledge, they are the high realizations. By their yogic powers, everything. In spite of all that, the four Kumaras found it very, very hard to keep the mind under control, to be separated from the modes of nature. Even if you come out of the lower modes of nature, like the ignorance and passion, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, even then the higher modes of nature can control you, which is the mode of goodness or the Satugunam. So to come free oneself from these three gunas is a very, very difficult thing. And therefore, this question was raised by the Kumaras to their father, because they only knew Lord Brahma as their father. So they asked Brahma about it, and Brahma couldn't answer that question. It was at that time, we will see that when we come to the 11th canto, this is discussed in detail there. Krishna came down in the form of a swan, only for one reason only, that is, when milk and water is mixed together, the swan is able to separate it out. There is no other process where because in their beak, they have got a special material which helps them to separate water and the milk. And that is a special capacity what the swans have got. So similarly, Krishna wanted to prove this point to them, that in us also, inside the heart, there is a swan situated, that is Krishna's part and parcel. We are the living entities, the jiva, and Krishna is present is as the super soul inside. So long as the jiva does not understand the supreme personality of Godhead inside, he has to be under the modes of the three modes of nature. That is how the Shastra talks about it. That the moment jiva understands that there is somebody else inside instructing him and guiding him, and once he wants to associate with that super soul inside, automatically he will be relieved from the modes of nature. This is what Krishna wanted to say. In other words, it is only the super soul who can separate the modes of nature from the mind and give that freedom for the jiva or the living entity. So when this was spoken by Krishna, it is that prayer that is what was in Daksha's mind also when he mentioned these prayers to the Supreme Lord. So generally, it is a common realization among the devotees also, that we understand that association with great devotees is necessary. Association with the great personalities helps to advance in spiritual life. But it is a possibility. It is a possibility that one may not get that opportunity in life. It's not possible that although there are always some personalities who are very advanced in the spiritual life, to get their association and through them, through their help, to go back to the spiritual world may not be possible in this world. It may not be possible. It may not happen. So what should one do in that situation? This is what the question comes up there. That we have three things mentioned. Three things are that durlabham trayameveidal daivanugraha hedugam manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayah. These are the three things. What are they? Manishyatvam. Manishyatvam means to obtain a human body. By Krishna's grace, we have all got at least a human body. That is the first thing. And then, after getting the human body, the next thing is that desire to go back to the spiritual world. That also has to be there. That desire doesn't come very easily in this world, because the nature of the material world and the way the Maya keeps us under her control is such that always we feel some sort of protection and shelter in the middle of all the complications of this world, you still feel that there is, it's not a bad place to be. That is the nature of Maya creates in us. So Maya's ways of, it is so powerful, this Maya, ethereal energy, as she is referred to, she has this special potential. Akhadida gadina padiyasi Maya. What we think is not possible can happen by Maya's power. That is why many, many great devotees, they pray to her first, please do not put any obstacles in my way back to spiritual world, way back to Krishna. That is how they pray to her. Gopis, they pray to Krishna. Kartiyayini Mahamayi Mahayogini Adhishwari Nandagova Sudam Devi Padime Kurude Namam. That why did the gopis, who are the greatest of Krishna's devotees, they prayed to Kartiyayini Mahamayi, addressing her, they said to her, that Mahayogini, all these words in the Bhagavatam verses are parts of big, very, very powerful mantras related to the Devi. Kartiyayini Mahamayi Mahayogini Adhishwari. Adhishwari means everyone is under your control. Nobody can free oneself easily and say that I escaped from you. You will not let anybody escape freely like that. Kartiyayini Mahamayi Mahayogini Adhishwari Nandagova Sudam Devi Padime Kurude Namam. That they pray to her that give Krishna as our husband. That was their prayer to Kartiyayini, to Manumaya. So they pray to her. It's nothing new that everybody, many, many great devotees in their spirit, they are going back, in the process of going back, they have prayed to her for shelter and not to get disturbed. Bhadimaya dinadam tattvam bhaktyam mahatyam sadadava nibajan nishabhidim vijahyam. That one devotee said to Krishna, Bhadimaya dinadam, Maya has listens to only one person. And she is only takes instruction from one person, and that is Krishna. Bhadi Mayadhi Nadam. Maya's controller is Krishna. Bhadi Mayadhi Nadam Tattvam Bhaktyam Mahatyam Sadadam Anubajam Ishadhidim Vijahyam. That if Krishna wants that to happen, Maya will not touch you, will not touch a person, a devotee, Maya will not disturb him in his spiritual life. Because if he has a sincere desire to go back to Krishna, and if he is praying to Krishna very seriously, Tattvam Bhaktyam Mahatyam Sadadam Anubhajan Nishabhidim Vijahyam. That the devotee said to Krishna, if you give, show a little mercy to me and tell Maya Devi not to touch me anymore in my life, then I know, Ishavidim Vijahyam, without any fear, I can get back to you. This is what the devotee said to Krishna. So that is the power of Maya. And to that Maya, that gopis have prayed to her. Who else has prayed to Madhuka Devi, Maya Devi? In the Bhagavatam, there are so many instances. Important thing was Rukmini Devi prayed to her. Rukmini Devi, the day before her marriage, she was praying to her. Namasye Tvambike Vishnam Sasandhanidam Shivam. That the day before her marriage, she went to see Durga Devi at the temple and prayed to her. Namasya Tvambike Vishnam Sasandhanidam Shivam. That along with your husband, Lord Shiva, and the children, please bless me, so that I will get married to Krishna. This is what Rukmini Devi's prayer to Maya Devi. So this Maya Devi also is under control of Krishna. So when Krishna wants that, Maya will not touch a devotee. Otherwise, a devotee can also often get disturbed in one's spiritual life. So here what we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that in through the Hamsabhuhya prayers, what we will have to understand is that due to the power of Maya, one gets thrown away from the spiritual life. That's what normally happens to all of us, that Maya allures us with something more nice to look forward to in this world and find something more attractive. So that Maya's potency is controlled by Krishna. That is controlled by Krishna. It is by Krishna's. When Krishna wants that to happen, Maya will not touch a devotee. So that's one thing. But secondly, beyond than that, what we have to see here is that when these prayers are spoken by Daksha Prajapati to Krishna, that you will notice also on something else mentioned there. Daksha Prajapati said to Krishna that if you want to protect me, and only through your protection, that I will be able to continue my activities in this world. Daksha Prajapati had the sincere desire to increase the progeny. That is what he was meant for. And for that purpose, he has asked Krishna's permission, and this time he didn't make the mistake. Last time he made the mistake. You see, in the fourth canto we saw that story. I am Daksha Prajapati, I can do what I want. Yeah, so he offended Shiva, and the result was that he lost his head, and Krishna wasn't present there in that sacrifice, and he had to wander around with that goat's head for a long time. But this time he has come to his senses by now. So he has realized that without Krishna's mercy, I should not enter into the process of creation. And that is why you find there that he is asking the special mercy from Krishna through the prayers to give it to him so that he can continue the process of creation. So in the Samsukhya prayers, what's important is that although we have a human form of life, there is no guarantee that we may get an opportunity to associate with a great personality. That is a very, very rare thing. Because Acharya Swamiji mentioned that Tralavam Prayamevaidal Daiva Anugrahidugam. Only when one has a very great fortune in his life that he will get all these three things simultaneously. Manishyatvam Mumukshatvam Mahapurusha Samshayah. Mahapurusha Samshayam, association with a great soul. That will also only happen in a rare situation only. Only if Krishna wants that to happen, for which one must have performed such pious activities to his credit. And even after associating with a great personality like that, the opportunity for one to develop that consciousness, to free oneself and liberate oneself from this material condition of life is very, very rare thing to happen. But Srimad Bhagavatam says that it is not that difficult if you understand the process how it works. That is where these things are discussed in detail. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, through Bhagavatam, Krishna has given us an opportunity to associate with a great personality called Sukadeva Goswami. That is why the significance of Bhagavatam comes in. That one may not get an opportunity to associate with a great soul in life. That may or may not happen depending on one's good fortune. If one has a good opportunity to do that, one should take advantage of it. But if one didn't get it, what should one do? Then that question automatically comes, should we write our spiritual life straight away and say, look, I didn't meet anybody, now forget about spiritual life, let me continue. That is not what Krishna says. Krishna never spoken like that. Krishna says that this Srimad Bhagavatam will stay in this world. Those who are intelligent, they can take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and through Srimad Bhagavatam, they can elevate themselves in spiritual life. That is possible. That is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. That this Srimad Bhagavatam, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, and by analyzing Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavatam, and instructions of the great devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the pastimes what Krishna has performed in this world, one can slowly understand and advance oneself in the spiritual path. And this is how it has happened in many, many devotees' cases. Everyone did not get the association of another great soul for them to advance spiritually, but they took Srimad Bhagavatam to their heart. That was their success. So those who did not get the opportunity to associate with a great soul or to develop Krishna consciousness with the association of a great devotee, they should also have an opportunity to go back to spiritual world. And there is no doubt about it. Krishna has left behind Srimad Bhagavatam in this world for that purpose. And one who wants to take advantage of it, Krishna says, if you want to search for me through Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what Krishna says in the Puranas. There is a statement about it, that it is there you will find me. And many, many people, after Krishna's departure from this planet, there were in so many generations, people took advantage of Srimad Bhagavatam, and with the help of Bhagavatam, they went back to the spiritual world. It has happened to them in that way. So that is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is precisely the reason that Srila Prabhupada wanted that Srimad Bhagavatam should be studied seriously and taken the complete benefit of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this particular point is coming through the Hamsaguhya prayers very seriously, because that Hamsaguhya means that Hamsam inside, which is the super soul there, he can instruct us which way to go in spiritual life also. It is not that we consult him for any other factors, particularly in reference to spiritual matters. Krishna can help a person who is, as long as one is willing to consult that personality inside, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present inside as the Hamsam, or one who is able to help a devotee to separate the three modes of nature from his mind and free oneself once for all from the influence of the modes of nature. Influence from the modes of nature means liberation. That is what liberation means. As long as one is under the three modes of nature, he is always controlled by the happiness and distress of this world. But when one is liberated, one is freed oneself from the modes of nature, he is in a position to understand and see things that the Krishna consciousness develops in the heart. So that was the Hamsamuhiya prayers, what we were discussing last Sunday. And immediately after that, Krishna presents himself in front of Dashaprajapati, and then there is a discussion between Krishna and Dashaprajapati in a very few verses, and from then on we move into the next chapter. So I'll just finish that and then we will read the next chapter. Shreesha Idhistudasamstuvadasasmin Mahamarshani Avirasil Kuru Shreshta Bhagavan Bhaktaval Salam. This is the 6th canto, chapter 4, and the verse 35. We stopped there last Sunday. Shri Shugavajam Idhistudasamstuvada Sadasmin Mahamarshani Avirasil Kuru Shreshta Bhagavan Bhaktaval Salam. Kravada Suvarnam se Pralambashta Mahabujam Shankra Shankham se Jarmeshu Dhanupashagadadhanam Pidavasa Khanashyama Prasannavadani Nikshana Vanamana Nividango Lesal Shrival Sakaustubhaham Mahakirida Kutayam Sviran Madhanundana Kanjam Viliyavalayam Nuburangada Bhushidaham Trailokya Mohanam Rubam Vibral Prabhuvaneshwara Vrdo Narinanandade Parshade Surayudhavai Sriyamanurugayal Bhi Siddhagandharvajarane Rubam Man Mahadashcharyam Vijakshyagya Sadhyasa Manavadandaval Bhumo Prahishtalpa Prajapati Makinjano Diraidum Ashavil Tivayamuda Apuri Ramano Dware Hradinyam Vivarjare Tam Madavaranam Bhaktam Prajagaman Prajapati Chittatnya Sarvabhudanam Idamahajanardhanam. So in these verses that Sri Shukan says to Parishat Maharaj, that Krishna's appearance there at that particular time in the and the way Krishna was just Tidavasa Ankhanashyama Prasannavadaneekshanam, that Krishna was obviously very pleased by the prayers of Dashaprajapati, that he smiled as soon as he saw Dashaprajapati and asked him what was he expecting from Krishna. And in return to that, Dashaprajapati says there, and the words from Krishna was like, Shri Bhagavan Uvajam Pajera Samahabhaga Samsiddhastavasa Bhavan Yachradayamal Paraya Mai Bhavam Param Yadaham Prayvaham De Prajanala Yatasyol Brahmanam Dava Vaishayama Bhudanam Yalbhuya Sarvibhudayam Brahma Bhava Bhavandashtamanavo Vipadeshwara Vibhudayam Vahedha Bhudanam Bhudihedava Tabo Mehrayam Brahmam Sano Vidyakriyagri Angani Kalavojaya Dhamamatma Savasuraha Ahamevasa Vivante Nanyal Kinjandaram Bahi Samyana Matam Vyaktam Prasuttameva Vishwaram Mayananda Gunenande Gunado Gunavigraha Yadasil Dhamamevadya Sayambo Samabhudajam Savayyadha Mahadevo Mavairyopa Brahmhira Menekilam Vivalpanam Udyada Sarga Garmani Atham Yurihido Deva Stavodatvya Dharunam Nava Vishwasayo Yushman Enadavada Sujadvivum Yashavandhanasyangam Dukhyavai Prajapati Asikni Namavatni Tve Prajesha Prajrihyadam Mithram Vyavaya Dharmastum Vedam Vyavaya Dharmastum Prajasarkam Imam Puna Mithram Vyavaya Dharminya Murisho Bhavishyasi Tato Adhastal Prajasarvam Idhani Vuyamayam Madiyaya Bhavishyandi Harishani Yamebalim. So in those verses Krishna has spoken to Daksha. Daksha was known as Prajedasa because he was known, this time he was born as the son of the Prajedas. So he was also known as Prajedasa Daksha. So in that form, when he has appeared and prayed to Krishna for the ability to create, Krishna has given that special mercy to him and told him that he should be able to create now by two processes, one through the mind and the other through the seminal process. So both abilities were given to him by Krishna's arrangement, and he told Daksha Prajapati to go and continue the creation. Shri Shugavajam Ititva Amishadastasya Bhagavan Vishwabhavana Sutnobalabdhataiva Atraivandardade Harim. After speaking this to him, to Prajedasa Daksha, immediately Krishna disappeared from that scene. And then in the next chapter, that is in the 5th chapter, Shri Shugavajam Daksha Prajapati starts his creation process. And this is one of the most interesting chapter in the sixth canto. Reason being that here what you find in this particular chapter is something even relevant today. That is why it makes it so interesting. Why it's so relevant is that the relevance is this, that in this chapter what you will notice here is that Daksha Prajapati started the creation. So when he started the creation, the first thing he decided that this time I'm not going to make any mistake. I'll start the creation in such a way, instruct them to take to spiritual life, serve Krishna and performing penances and austerities, and then they should create further and increase the progeny. This was Daksha's plan at that time. So everything was organized very well. And Daksha Prajapati first time created what is known as Haryashwas. Haryashwas, about 60,000 of them he created by his mind. From his mind he created. He had Manasa Srishti as it is called. So when they were creating, Daksha Prajapati told them that unlike this time, I would like you, because they were all very obedient children, all of them. So he told them that what I would like you to do, that you should perform, first you should perform penances in life. Because through penances you should purify yourself. And when you are purified, you can enter into the process of creation. This is how they were instructed. So these 60,000 what Haryashwas, they took the father's instruction very seriously. And they went to what is known as Narayana Sarasa. Narayana Sarasa is where Saraswati River met with the sea. That is where it used to exist. But today we don't know what that place is called. But Narayana Sarasa used to exist where Saraswati Nadi also has disappeared. Saraswati River has disappeared. So it's difficult to know where exactly it was. But anyway, this is what happened. Narayana Sarasa, they went there and they performed many, many years of penances. And after performing many years, they have of course a very long lifespan as well, so they could do that. So after performing this long penances, they came back and Daksha Prajapati told them to engage in progeny or in procreation process. Unfortunately, what happened was, on their way back, Srinarayana Muni came up there and saw them. When Srinarayana Muni saw them there performing these penances, Srinarayana Muni asked them, what was the purpose of all this, these penances what you are performing now? So the children with folded hands told Narada Muni that we have come here because we are instructed by our father to come and perform these penances, and after this we are instructed to continue the process of creation. Daksha Prajapati's instructions are like that. So Narada Muni laughed at it. So Narada Muni said to them that, do you understand anything what about this material world or about creation or anything? Do you understand? Just because father has told you something, you don't have to listen to everything what he says. And in few verses, Srinarada Muni, in a very confidential manner, whatever he had to say to them, he spoke to them. And he spoke that in such a way that if you read those verses straight away, it is difficult to understand what was Narada Muni trying to say there. But because these children, Haryashwas, were very intelligent, they thought that if Narada Muni is saying something, there must be some significance to it, or there must be something importance attached to it. So they analyzed Narada Muni's words and they understood what they were expected to do. And as soon as they realized that Narada Muni was actually telling them that you didn't get this human body just to increase the procreation or increase the progeny, and that is not the purpose of this human body. Purpose of human body is to utilize. Human body is meant for only one thing. The highest priority is to go back home, back to Krishna, to go back to spiritual world. That's the goal of this human body. Krishna also says, Ledhvasudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraham. That what is the goal of human body? It is obtained after many, many births, and it's a very, very rare thing. Bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That it has got one good quality, that with this body, when one has got a human body, more or less it has to be understood that already he has put one step towards the door of liberation. That is the greatness of the human body. Mukti dwaram abhavratam. That is how it says. Mukti dwaram means the gate towards liberation is open to him. Because not in any other body this possibility exists. It's only in the human body it is possible to do this. That labdhasadurlabhamidam bahusambhavandi. Manushyam arthadam anityam adihadhiraha. That it is only possible to achieve this in this human life. Therefore, human life is precious. Therefore, if one should understand the significance of human life, Krishna says, Turnam badedyadin anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvadasyal. That before it drops off, one day this will drop off, or every one of us, one day this body will drop away from us, and we will be left and gone away. But before that happens, Krishna says, Turnam paden yedin anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That what is the human body so glorious about it is this, that Turnam paden yedin anumurtiyaval. That before it drops off, if one is intelligent, Krishna says, if one is intelligent enough and uses that body, Nishreyasaya Vishaya Khalu Sarvadasyal, he can attain the highest Shreyas. Shreyas means, there are two things, Prayas and Shreyas. Prayas is something which is immediately what is beneficial to us. That is known as Prayas. That means, for example, achieving wealth in this world, it is Prayas. Achieving material education, it is Prayas. It doesn't help you anymore after that. All that education and wealth will leave you here. Nishreyasaya Vishaya Khalu Sarvadasyal. That the Shreyas is that which will go with you after leaving this body. That is what is known as Shreyas. That will go along with you when you leave this world. Therefore, Shreyas is superior to Prayas. And that Shreyas, Krishna says, Nishreyasaya Vishaya Khalu Sarvadasyal. That Shreyas is achievable, possible to achieve that Shreyas in this human body. That is the glory of this human body. So, mukti dwaram abhavratam griheshu grihaval saktyam tamarodachudam vidhum. That in the Bhagavatam, that is how it says, that mukti dwaram, the gate is already open and you have already put one foot towards that, in that direction. If you bring the other foot as well, you have escaped from the cycle. But that is how close we are to the state of liberation. And after obtaining that, if one does not take advantage of it, Krishna says, I call him as one who is committing suicide. That is Krishna's words on that. Krishna doesn't say somebody who commits suicide, what we read in the newspaper, Krishna doesn't call that as suicide. The real suicide, Krishna says, is, in other words, almost all of us are really committing suicide here. That's what, in Krishna's words, that's what it means. Nadehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sugalpam gurugarnadharam mayanugulena navasudedam puman bhavadyam natareel sa almaha. Almaha means one who is killing his own soul. But due to our identification with the body, we call suicide means actually killing this body. Body will die anyway, so what is the big deal about it? That's what Krishna says. Natareel sa almaha. But if one does not use this opportunity given in the human body to cross this cycle of birth and death, Krishna says he is considered to be almaha. He is the one who is committing suicide according to Krishna. So, if it is like then, that if what Krishna has spoken about us, about our life in this world, having got that opportunity, Sri Narada Muni, through few verses, spoke this to Hariyashwas. Hariyashwas heard all that, then they sense the importance of Narada Muni's instruction. Sri Narada Muni is always, has only one business, sending people back to the spiritual world. That is why all the acharyas who come here, they are all, in other words, also follow the route what Sri Narada Muni has taken. Their job is also the same thing, sending people. That is why Krishna is pleased with Sri Narada Muni all the time. Wherever Krishna is there, Sri Narada Muni is also there. That is how it is to be understood. Narada Muni never stays away from Krishna. There is a reason behind it. We'll come to that later. Why is Narada Muni doesn't leave Krishna? So, Daksha Prajapati send this send Hariyashwas for penances. But on their way back, they met Sri Narada Muni, and this is what happened. They didn't go back to the Daksha Prajapati to talk to them again about it. They didn't want any more discussions after that. What they heard from Narada Muni was enough for them to go back to the spiritual world. So they went back, performed penances and left this world, went away. When Daksha came to know about this, he got very upset, because his work has been interrupted. He was sent here to continue the creation. And he was very busy and actively involved in that. And he has got this mercy from Krishna to do that. So now Narada Muni comes and puts the spanner there and stops everything. So he got very upset and he decided that if Narada Muni is so powerful, let me show my power also. So this competition starts. Competition means at the end it is always destruction. So it will be destroyed, natural, no doubt about it. That is, this competition brings that destruction at the end. That is the nature of this competition. That things what we consider good in the material world, they are not considered to be good in the spiritual world. That is, somehow, unfortunately, it is like that. In the material world, we consider it's very competitive. You have to compete all the time in life. That is pumped into our psyche from the very beginning, competing with each other. This mentality creates a lot of damage in the spiritual life also. If one takes to that attitude in spiritual life, he won't get very far anywhere. Before that, competition will kill himself. So similarly, diplomacy. In the material world, diplomacy is considered to be a great quality. Everyone talks about how he's very diplomatic. And it is considered to be like a glorification of the person's quality. But Krishna says that diplomacy doesn't work with him. Krishna wants straightforward openness and sincerity in dealings with Krishna. That is the difference in the spiritual dealings and material dealings of this world. Diplomacy and competition helps here in material activities. But when it comes to spiritual world, spiritual activities, if one does not give it up, that will follow him and destroy his spiritual life. So that is what we have seen time and again. So in this particular instance also, Krishna says, Daksha Prajapati took it as a competition with Narada Muni. He thought, see, Narada Muni has got that power, I have got better power to create much more than him. And then he creates what is known as Shabalashwas, and thousands of them he created. And he said, let me see what Narada Muni is going to do this time. And this time, he instructed the Shabalashwas very strictly, that you go and perform the penances, and after performing the penances, you will come back and take up the process of creation from now on. Shabalashwas took the instructions from Sri Daksha Prajapati, went to the same place, same spot, Narayana Saras, and started performing penances. When they were performing penances, Sri Narada Muni came to hear about this from somewhere. He decided, I will not wait this time for them to come back. Let me go and talk to them straight away. And he went up to Shabalashwas and spoke to them, told them that you know the path your brothers have followed before, that is the path you are supposed to follow. If you don't take these instructions from your father so seriously, because if you do that, eventually you will be lost in this whole material creation. And there he gave the instruction. It didn't take very long, because seeing Narada Muni's word or hearing Narada Muni's words, they were so much affected by that they got the instructions from Narada Muni, the mantra to chant, the place to sit, everything, assistance what was required, Narada Muni offered him everything. Offered these Shabalashwas everything. Shabalashwas took instructions from Narada Muni, they also went back to the spiritual world. So Harishwas went back to the spiritual world, Shabalashwas also went back to the spiritual world. Narada Muni was left behind. So Narada Muni now felt that I should go and thank Daksha, because Daksha has given me an opportunity to send so many people back to the spiritual world. This is what Narada Muni was thinking. So he decided to thank, to acknowledge his gratitude to Daksha Prajapati. So he was going to see Daksha Prajapati to his palace, looking for him. Daksha Prajapati was thinking that I would like to see this Narada and have a word with him about this whole thing, what he is up to. So this was in Daksha Prajapati's mind. They met with each other somewhere, say underneath a banyan tree somewhere, they met each other. And there was a discussion between the two. Daksha Prajapati abused Sri Narada Muni to such a degree, you will see about 10 or 12 verses in the Bhagavatam, is telling him all what you have done, what a catastrophe you have created by sending my children to take to spiritual life. Even before they have seen what is material life, you are telling them to go back to the spiritual world. He says to them, many parents today also will say the same thing, wouldn't they? Because that's how we are all Daksha Prajapati's people. So we will not easily accept what Sri Narada Muni says. Our mind will go through the Daksha Prajapati's side. So many parents will say to the children that, look, if my son is chanting Hare Krishna, why can't he keep it till about 65 or 70 after when he starts getting his pension or so-called state pension? When that comes, then he can start chanting. Till then he has to work. That will be the instruction. So similarly, Dasha Prajapati was furious and he started saying to Srinarada Muni, why did you do this to them? They have not seen the material world. They have not enjoyed anything here. And they never attained any proper renunciation or detachment of this material world. Narada Muni's question was, why should one first get contaminated and then purified? Rather than before getting contaminated, is it not better to go back from here? Before, Narada Muni had his own logic. Dasha Prajapati wouldn't agree. Dasha Prajapati said to him that they have come here. They should have got married, had their household life, gone through all the miseries of household life. And then after that, when he is tired and disgusted with everything, then he can start the spiritual life. That is the right process. Dasha Prajapati was telling to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was saying to him, well, this is also another significant thing. Out of the 10 Prajapatis who started creation, it was only Narada Muni who never got married. You will see there. That is Mariji Atri Angiras Pulastya Pulaha Kradu Drugu Vasishta Dakshasya Dashamas Tata Narada Dashaman. The 10th one is Narada Muni. And Sri Narada Muni never looked into that side any time. He kept out of this whole deal of household life. He didn't want to get involved. He said, best thing is I stay with Krishna and continue with my spiritual activities. So because of that, Narada Muni is one exception to that. So in this particular situation, Hariyashwas and Shablas were sent back and Daksha Prajapati started criticizing Narada Muni for this instruction. Eventually, out of the furious mood what Daksha Prajapati was in, he cursed Narada Muni that you will never be able to stay in any place more than 5 minutes. That was the great blessing given by Daksha Prajapati to Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni didn't say anything, smiled at him, offered his respects and quietly left the place. Now what to do? This is the instruction. Now you can't stay anywhere more than 5 minutes. So Narada Muni went straight away back to Sri Krishna there in the spiritual world. When he got back there, Krishna was thinking that it's a long time I've not seen Narada Muni, and he has sent so many people back here to the spiritual world. I have to offer him something, some present for what he has done. Such a nice service, what he has done. This is what the position of the spiritual master is. Spiritual master's duty is to send people back to the spiritual world. And Krishna recognized them for that service, what they have done. So in this particular instance also, Krishna was ready there in Vaikuntha to receive Narada Muni and to offer him some presents for this glorious service, what he has done, sending them all back. So when Narada Muni got to Vaikuntha and Krishna saw Sri Narada Muni, Krishna asked Sri Narada Muni, how is everything going? Narada Muni said, I have served you so well, the result is that now I can't stay anywhere more than 5 minutes. He said, this is the present I have got. He said to Krishna, this is the presence I receive now for serving you. This is my presence there. Krishna said, alright. What did he say? He said that I will not be able to stay anywhere more than 5 minutes. Krishna said to Narada Muni, that will not work as long as I am there, he said. When I am there, present any time, if you are with me there, this particular Daksha's curse is not going to affect you. That is why you find that in Dwaraka, when Krishna was present there, Narada Muni was there almost all the time with coming and going, you will see. Between Indraprastham and Dwaraka, he was traveling all the time, taking this message to Pandavas, bringing that message from Pandavas back, organizing Krishna's daily routine. So many things Narada Muni was doing in Dwaraka. Not only that, in almost all the big temples, when offerings are made to Krishna, it is a common practice even today in the big temples that there is an offering is also made to Sri Narada Muni. Why? The assumption is that Sri Narada Muni is always present with Krishna. Tarunyarambharamyam paramasugarasa swadaromanjidange avidam narada der vilasagovaneshal sundari mandalesha. One devotee, when he saw Krishna, this is how he saw Krishna with all the predominating deities, all the Upanishad Devadas together, along with Sri Narada Muni. Avidam Narada Adir Vilasat Upanishad Sundari Mandalaischa. Upanishad Sundaris means actually Gopis. Gopis are the predominating deities of all the different Vedic Upanishads. So these Upanishads personified form are the Gopis. So Sri Narada Muni and the Gopis and Krishna, he saw them all together when Krishna appeared to him. So from this you can see that Srinarada Muni is always present where Krishna is present, and therefore a special offering is made to Srinarada Muni even today in all the big temples. And and these instructions what Krishna has mentioned to Narada Muni, Narada Muni took full advantage, because from now on he realized that if I stay with Krishna there won't be any problem, this Daksha's curse won't work. So from then on Narada Muni always made sure that he spent a lot of time with Krishna, as when he wanted to have a little rest, or when he's tired of his traveling in the material world or spiritual world, whatever it is, that Srinarada Muni goes back to Krishna to spend some time with him. So and that is basically that next chapter, and we have to discuss that a little bit more, but before that I'll just finish reading that chapter, then we'll discuss it next time, probably next time, Sunday. Shri Shuka Vacha Tasyam Sabanjajanyam Tasyam Sabanjajanyam Vai Vishnumayoga Brahmhira Haryashyasam Yanayidam Putra Najanayadvibhavum Abhivandharma Shilaste Sarvayakshayanava Pitra Aprokabhaja Sarge Prayajim Prayurdisham Tatra Narayana Sarastirtham Sindhu Samudrayu Sangamo Yatra Samahanmuni Siddhanishayidam Tadubaspashana Deva Vinirdhu Amalashaya Dharme Paramahamseja Prolpanna Madayopyudam Tiburidamivogram Pitro Odeshayamridam Prajavivardhayatan Devashistan Dadashaha Uvajajala Haryashvakatam Sakshadavai Praja Adrishtvannam Uvayuyam Balisha Belava Alagaha Tadayavrisham Rashtram Viramchadrishanargamam Mahirubam Sayamjavi Puvamsam Pushtalim Padim പ്രജഗ്രഹം ഉദ്ഭാടം നാരദ സാധുസമ്മത ഏകാവാൻ സാധുവാദോഹി തിദിക്ഷേദേശ്വര സ്വയം ഋഷിവത്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണി പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ഷഷ്ടസ്കന്ധേ നാരദശാവോ നാമ പഞ്ചമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So that is the fifth chapter. So I'll stop there, and if there's any questions or comments from what I spoke today.
Not a conflict of interest, Shri Krishna asking Daksha to propagate and Narad Muni to liberate at the same time. Was there not?
There is no conflict in Krishna's side. Conflict is our mind, because when the living entity comes to this world, when we leave the spiritual world and come here, virtually it is only due to our indifference to Krishna. That's what has brought us here. So this material world was open, more like a prison house, basically. It was open like that. The beginning was, in the very beginning itself, it was created like that. But when Krishna instructed Dashaprajavani to continue the creation, in his mind, he was also aware that the time factor, what he has put into it, also comes into effect. In other words, Satyam Kridam Traya Dvaviram Kali, the four yugas, what comes one after the other. Each yuga has its own characteristics along with that. So Satyugam, in the beginning, when the creation happened at that time, most of the people were meant to go back to spiritual world because of the specific reason that they had a higher level of Krishna consciousness, that they were able to go back straight away. So only thing was that Narada Muni accelerated that process, going back process, without giving enough time to settle down here, which is the best thing to happen. Now, from Sri Narada Muni's point of view, that Narada Muni's and all the other great acharyas who follow the footsteps of Narada Muni, following their instructions, they also do the same thing. But the difference is, in the Kriyugam and Kaliyugam, Kaliyugam everyone stays here, nobody is going back. And that is why our problem also, I think in one instance Srila Prabhupada was saying that the population increases only because nobody is going back to the spiritual world. Everyone is staying here. It looks a little bit sometimes hard to digest, because we, with all our material comforts and facilities in this world, we have made this as our permanent abode, and we feel quite comfortable and happy about that. But those who have a understanding of life beyond death, and who knows that what exists beyond this life, they have seen that this life is nothing but a compromise what you are making. That therefore Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam also that utilize this opportunity to get to a better situation, to spiritual world. So there is no contradiction strictly speaking, but contradiction we feel because we think this is the base from where we are looking at things. Krishna is looking from the Vaikuntha as the base. We see from here as this is the abode to be, and Vaikuntha is an outer bound area for us. We took that. But actually that is not the truth. The truth is that we belong to that place. We fell down to this situation. So in that situation, when somebody has got an opportunity to go back, Krishna's point is that you should take advantage of it as soon as possible. That is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam also. And in the Dakshaprajapati's case, it was only trying to point out to the Dakshaprajapati that in the earlier, afterwards he was able to create later on. Not everybody that Narada Muni was able to send back. Because you will see in the next chapter, the Dakshaprajapati adopting a different technique altogether. He thought, only if I create male children, Sri Narada Muni will give sannyas and send them back. Now I will create daughters, what is he going to do? And that's why next time when he gave birth, it was 60 girls who were born. And from there, the descendants started, and all this population what is in the world today, what we find has come from them after that. So that's that difference in the thinking.
Yeah. about
yes.
And the person Bhagwat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the sense that if there were so many Bhagavadas were in the world, Prabhupada would not have undertaken this special effort to print and distribute so much Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason is this, that it is easier if you have a devotee who has advanced in the Srimad Bhagavatam to help. It makes life a lot easier, no doubt about it. But that does not mean that one should not give up reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam on its own, because Bhagavatam is Krishna. There is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. And if somehow or the other, if a devotee is sincerely studying Srimad Bhagavatam, from inside Krishna also helps that person. There is no doubt about that. Because if you look back in the history, say at least last 500 years, not only in our tradition, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, even in the other traditions also, there were great personalities, great devotees. They never got any opportunity to associate with another great devotee. They didn't get that. But what they did get was, they got an opportunity to study Srimad Bhagavatam, and obviously, they had the good fortune that they were able to study Srimad Bhagavatam, and they were inclined that way from the very beginning in their life. And we feel it so hard because we come to it at a later date in life, and because we didn't get that good fortune like they had to associate with Srimad Bhagavatam in the early days of life. Therefore we find it more difficult. We think that it's a completely out of bound area for us to go in. But that is not the fact. The fact is that Srimad Bhagavatam, in whatever way one takes to it, studying it and reading it and thinking about it, that is what is more important than anything else. Shrinado dhyayado Vishnu, it says, kurvado bhodakadaha. In the second canto you can see that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, meditating on that and acting on that, this is what is required. So not only by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, meditating on Srimad Bhagavatam will eventually bring the same effect of what one will get from associating with a great soul. That is what Bhagavatam says. That it is not that, oh, because there is no other Bhagavatam, I can't touch Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't say anywhere like that. One should still study Srimad Bhagavatam. If one has an opportunity to hear from a great soul, it is good. It helps a lot. It makes the process a lot easier. But even if one doesn't get that opportunity, one should not give up studying Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why, knowing very well, Srila Prabhupada made these books as much as possible to be distributed worldwide. He knew that there is not going to be Bhagavatas everywhere to help other devotees. But he knew at least some people will take advantage of it, study it sincerely. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like this. Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a simply stories. It has got jnanam in there, knowledge also there. It is jnanam is there, bhakti is there, and vairagyam is there. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. All these three things are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So many of the subtle things, what one finds difficult to understand today, is only Krishna says in the Bhagavatam itself. He explains that the reason not able to understand is because of our attachment or asakti to the material world. And as much as this attachment goes away from the heart by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all the subtle principles of spiritual life will be revealed, understood by us better. So many things, if you read Ekadasha Skandam, you will understand it much better. Why it is so important to study that, those chapters. 26 chapters in Ekadasha Skandam is only talking about this thing. Krishna is continuously instructing Uddhava, and Uddhava is constantly asking questions to Krishna, one after the other. And from the questions you can see, those questions are the very questions what we would ask to Krishna if we had an opportunity to see Krishna. Because those questions is telling us that in our condition, what do we do? Krishna answers that all that day in those instructions. There he says that, my dear Uddhava, that these instructions, what I handle, let it stay in this world for others to be benefited from that. So if Krishna had an intention like that, it cannot go into waste. It has to stay here. And that is why it has stayed here for the last 5,000 years. People have taken advantage of it and they got back to the spiritual world. And many, many scholars of the Srimad Bhagavatam all over, you find them, that all of them did not have an opportunity to associate with another. They studied Srimad Bhagavatam and they learned things from Srimad Bhagavatam. They meditated on Bhagavatam and they thought, analyzed this process continuously as much as, and they took help from everywhere they could get. And the result was that they also eventually realized what Bhagavatam was talking about. So it is not that everything has to be given up because there is nobody to. There is also outside a devotee to help, but also inside Krishna is there to help you also at the same time. And with sincerity, when devotee is studying Srimad Bhagavatam, it is always acknowledged fact that Krishna will reveal the understanding what he is looking forward to. Okay.
Eleventh canto was where the 26 verses you said.
26 chapters.
Chapters, mm-hmm. Which is where Krishna
instructs Uddhava. Yes.
Very minutely. Mm-hmm. Why was not given to us prior to any other canto?
We are not even ready for the first canto. That's the problem. That it was not then. Spiritual life is not like something like a course that you can do it in a few days or a few months. It takes time. That everything, there is a certain what is known as manasamskaram. Manasamskaram means our purification in the mind has to happen. And that happens if you follow that system what the sages have set up. That you go through each canto thoroughly. And when you come to the 11th canto, especially after finishing 10th canto, once we have understood who is Krishna, till now we are thinking Krishna is somebody like us. But once you go through 10th canto, you'll understand what is Krishna's actual position is as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, then Krishna is speaking from then on. And then you will be able to appreciate the words of Krishna at that time. Everything has to be presented in its proper perspective. Otherwise, it will always lose its potency. That's what you have to acknowledge. That certain things you don't tell a child. You tell a child only those things what child will accept it, isn't it? Similarly, Ekadasha Skandam is no money. It is considered in the Srimad Bhagavatam more Gahanam. Gahanam means it is very deep to understand also. It's very difficult. And even the Sridharacharya Swamiji, the greatest commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, before he starts commenting on the Ekadasha Skandam, he prays to the deity for helping him to write the commentary on that. Why? Because these are Krishna's words. If you misinterpret that, it will cause more problems to the people. So he wanted to make sure that he couldn't write about it anymore unless Krishna gives his help from inside what to write. This is how he prayed to Krishna. And he says in his own commentary, you can see, here I am now praying to Bindumadava to help me to write this commentary on the 11th canto. So that from that you can see that that particular instructions is meant to be understood at the end, after understanding who Krishna is. So if you go in that process, you will appreciate that better. Otherwise, straight away, if somebody gives you 11th canto and start telling you to read it, you will read it and he says, what's there so big about it, you will say that. You won't understand it. Why? Because I can relate with it properly, the way it should be done. So that's why it is kept like that. Okay. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.